those were 32 gunshots you just heard. Those shots would be fired on the night of April 21st into April 22nd, 2016 in Pike County, Ohio. On April 22nd, a lady by the name of Bobby Joe Manley, she was a sister of one of the victims, would come to feed pets at the home. She ended up finding two bodies. Before the police arrived, she had found two more bodies in a second home on the property. The brother, James Manley, would go to check on their sister, Dana Roden, and this would become a third crime scene found. Once the police arrived, they had found three more bodies. A call at 1:26 p.m. would report an eighth victim at another place in a nearby area close to Piketon. Children found at the locations, but they were left unharmed. The first child was 3 years old, the second child was 6 months old, and the third child was just only 4 days old. And the 4-day-year-old child would be found next to his mother's body. The eight victims, I will now list their names along with the details of how they died and their relationship with the other victims. None of these are in order, so remember that. But Kenneth Roden was 44 years old. He died from a single gunshot wound to the head. He was the brother of Chris Roden Sr. He would have dollar notes scattered around his feet from what I've read. See, there's Chris Roden Sr. was 40 years old. He died from multiple gunshot wounds to the head, torso, and limbs. He was the ex-husband of Dana Roden. Gary Roden was 38 years old. He died from multiple gunshot wounds to the head. He was the cousin of Chris Sr. and Kenneth. Dana Lynn Roden was 37 years old. She died from multiple gunshot wounds to the head and neck. She was the ex-wife of Chris Sr. Clarence Roden was 20 years old. He died from multiple gunshot wounds to the head. He was the oldest son of Dana and Chris Sr., and he was the father of the surviving six-month-old. Hannah Hazel Gilly was 20 years old. She died from multiple gunshot wounds to the head. She was the fiance of Clarence and the mother of the surviving six-month-old. Hannah Mae Roden was 19 years old. She died from multiple gunshot wounds to the head. She was the daughter of Dana and Chris Sr., and she was the mother of the four-day-old baby. And Chris Roden Jr. was age 16 years old. He died from multiple gunshot wounds to the head. He was the son of Dana and Chris Sr. But to go off, the police felt some of the victims were beaten as well because of the bruising found on some of them, and some of the victims were shot while they were in their bed. The early stages of the investigation, police felt there was more than one shooter due to the distance of the crime scenes. Two of them were walking distance apart, but one was roughly a mile away, and the last location was about 8 miles away. They did at one point feel that it might have been a murder-suicide case, but the scene did not support that thought. The Ohio Attorney General felt the murders were planned because of the efforts the killer or killers took to cover up their tracks. At least 5 search warrants were performed, and more than at least 50 people were interviewed. No arrests came from it, and there were over 75 pieces of evidence examined. One of them was a Facebook post threat towards Chris Jr. The post came before the shootings took place. A few days later, on April 25th, it would be confirmed that marijuana was discovered at 3 of the crime scenes. There was even an indoor building that housed hundreds of plants. And there was also evidence of breeding chickens and cockfighting due to the obvious reason they had chickens and also equipment. The police didn't know if the marijuana was connected to the shootings, but they did believe it was grown to sell and not for personal use. They also felt there was a possibility of the Mexican drug cartel being involved in the murders. The next day, Dana's father would state he felt the victims knew the killer or killers because of Dana's dogs, because there's no evidence of the dogs trying to attack anyone. From what I've read, they were pit bull, terrier, guard dogs. So another thing as well, there was no sign of forced entry at any of the crime scenes. He would also make it known that his daughter was not involved with the marijuana operations taking place. Some of the members of the family would state they knew Kenneth and Chris Sr. was growing, but didn't know the amount they were growing. At the beginning of May, vehicles were towed away as part of the investigations, and the homes would be located in a secure location. They would eventually be taken to a place in Waverly, Ohio. I've read later that year they would be stored in a warehouse from an old chemical processing plant, and this would blow up as well because a news station would watch the warehouse for like a long period of time, I think like a few weeks to a month, and would say the homes weren't being watched properly, and it would be shot down though with saying the evidence was preserved. But to get back on topic a little bit, the middle way through August, a television news station reported about 2 guys being arrested in New Mexico for shooting a police officer, and supposedly they were suspects in the Pike County shootings. Turns out they're not a suspect in the Pike County shootings, but was a suspect in another shooting in Ross County in Ohio. In October, the investigators felt they were getting leads in the case and felt they had enough evidence. They still felt people had more information on the shootings and felt they were just too scared to come out, which are obvious reasons. But the local sheriff in Pike County would make a statement in November trying to get anyone to come forward with information. He would also make it known that he would arrest anyone who may be leading the investigation the wrong way. This included family, friends, and locals. The SWAT team from Franklin County would raid a home 10 miles from the murders on May 12, 2017. It was first believed they were looking for suspects, but later it would be confirmed they were looking for evidence and not suspects. The individual who lived at this location was Jake Wagner. He was the ex-boyfriend of victim Hannah Roden and was the father of the 3-year-old daughter. The police also searched an Adams County property that he once owned and recently sold at the time. But the following month in June, the police said they were seeking additional information on Jake as well as his family. The family had ended up moving to Alaska right after, I guess, all this happened. And the police still wanted to learn the interactions that locals had with the family about vehicles, firearms, and ammo. And I read Jake was in a custody battle with Hannah over their daughter, and this will tie into the rumor of the shootings occurred over the custody battle between the two of them. Whether it be true or not, who knows. But I read in an article that he picked up his daughter the day before the shootings occurred, and he usually picked up their daughter on Friday, which would have been actually the 22nd. So, you know, he picked her up before them. But it seems the Wagner family moved to Alaska because they're receiving death threats. And Dana's brother, James, I read would be arrested in May 2017, police charged him with tampering evidence after he had destroyed a GPS tracking device. And the charge would eventually be dropped, according to Dana and James's father. And the reason the device was on his son's truck is because supposedly text messages that took place between him and Jake before the murders. According to Jake, the text messages never took place. But to go back to the family, like they said too, they've been wanting to move to Alaska, and I guess with all this happening, them getting death threats and all that, you know, made them just go ahead and pack up and leave. But as of today, not a lot has been made public from the police, but that is understandable because they're trying to keep it hush-hush with having information only they and the killer or killers know. And this is one case that has a lot of rumors circulating around it, and it seems there are a lot of roads that fork off from the original road to help solve this crime. I tried sharing a lot of the main parts of this case and hopefully covered most of it, but I'll now go into a few of the rumors that surrounds the murders. I read one guy on one guy's comment on Facebook that three people did it. He stated the last guy, the uncle, I believe, he was talking about Kenneth in this situation, found dead by himself in a house multiple miles away, planned and carried this out with two others. Then the second guy gets killed by a third guy a couple months later in Erlanger, double homicide. The only thing I can find on a murder is from Ellesmere, Kentucky. And a couple was found dead inside their home on April 8th, 2016. This would be 15 days prior before the Pike County shootings occurred. Apparently four children were in the home and was upstairs sleeping and were left unharmed. So I can see where it's similar, and everything I've read, the couple was shot in the head as well. So, you know, execution style. So if this is the correct case he is talking about, then this didn't happen a couple months later. Unless I have the wrong case, but who knows, that's all I could find. Unless I overlooked and wasn't just searching the right thing. But this goes back to another rumor that the killer or killers were local and knew the family, whether it be a relative or a friend. So if they're saying Kenneth done it and all that. You still have the rumor of the Mexican drug cartel being behind the shootings. And there's a lady on Facebook where I read comments about her having a video of a man walking on the road, I guess not too far from that area. But according to her, once she tried to tell the police, they ended up trying to cover up her story and to get her to be quiet. True? Who knows? But like my theory, and like I've said before, I'm no expert on any of this, but I personally feel the killer or killers knew the family, whether it be a relative or, you know, a friend of the family. Because there is information out there that could tie all of this up and get somebody charged with the murders. But as long as people stay silent, then these murders will go unsolved. But if you have any information on this case, please call Pike County Sheriff's Office at 740-947-2111. And let's bring justice and closure to the eight victims of this tragedy.